things that the Bible talks about that are lasting and eternal. Brother Ryan, put Malachi 3:16 on the screen. Malachi 3:16 is what you and I just did. Notice what the Word of God says. It's talking about God's people doing what they're supposed to do. And it says, then they that feared the Lord. How many of them here reverence God? Every one of us. You're here on a Sunday night. You could be doing whatever you wanted to do. So you're here and you reverence the Lord. It says, then they that feared or reverenced the Lord, they spake often one to another. Come on, we were talking to each other. We were talking about our great God. Amen? It says, and a book of remembrance was written before him, before God. I want you to think about the words you spoke tonight. The words you spoke is being written in a book. Now listen, was written before him for them that feared, who is it written for? You and I, for them that feared, that reverenced the Lord, and that thought upon his name. Now you and I tonight, there's a lot of things that we've done that won't amount to much, that people won't notice, they won't remember. But every time that you and I come together, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, that Jesus is in the midst. But when we come together and we start talking about our God, all of a sudden, all of heaven comes alert. And your words are written down in a book to bring him glory. But that book is there for you in times of hardships and stress and struggle. That book's for you to pull out of. So every time you witness and every time you testify, you've got another chapter written in that book. And when the devil comes against you, you can count on the fact that the Spirit of God will, as Brother Green was talking about, he'll speak to you and he'll bring that to your remembrance and you'll stand on something. Amen? Okay, that's free. That has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about. But open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. What you've done tonight, you talked about the goodness of a God that loves you, and you talked about what God can do whether you're serving him or not. But tonight you've chose to serve him, and you chose to come under the covenant through the blood of Jesus. Amen? So there's some encouraging words from Jesus here that I want us to pick up on tonight. Luke chapter 6, verse number 40. Luke chapter 6, verse number 40. The Word of God says, you notice this red letter, Jesus talking to us. It says, the disciple, say that's me. Come on, a disciple is what? Somebody who's disciplined in the teachings of Jesus. That's you and I. We're his student, amen? The disciple is not above his master. That's where most people quit. They go, oh, Jesus is way up here. I'm way down here. I can never do and be what I'm supposed to be. We got to read the whole verse. Amen? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Everyone that is mature. Let's put it where we can understand it, because I don't know about you, but if you looked in my closet, I'm not mature. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I am mature to where I've grown in the Lord. Amen? You're mature to where you've grown in the Lord right now. So in the eyes of the Lord, you're as Jesus. Now listen to me. Don't gauge yourself by anybody else. Gauge yourself by the Lord. Amen? Because it doesn't matter about your brother or your sister. It matters how Jesus is calling you and how you're answering that call. Amen? Hallelujah. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you, Brother Corey. Brother Justin, we appreciate it so much. Amen. Hallelujah. So tonight, I thought we was going to go a different direction, but the Lord has changed this, so we're going to go in this direction. He wants you to know that when you believe in the heart and confess with the mouth, then you know this, but we have to stir ourselves up. He wants you to know that you have a label on you. And that label is the very blood of Jesus that's upon your life. And He is calling you His disciple. And He's saying when you hear His teaching and His word, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, He said that the word of God would cause you to be just like Him. Oh, come on now. Don't get nervous. Get excited. Come on, both of them have an effect on our body, but we don't want the nervous effect. We want the excited effect. Amen? Because the excitement effect will cause you to be in a place of expectancy, and it'll release your hope with your faith that'll bring the will of God to pass in your life. All right. He said, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So I need to be in the place and the position where, as you were testifying tonight, you were talking about how God touched you where you were at, and He put you on a path. And on that path, every day you were being changed. So that's this being perfect. That's this maturing. In other words, you and I, we don't look at anybody else, but we look to Jesus. And as we look to Jesus, He starts showing us things in our life. And as He starts showing us things in our life, He gives us just what we need when we need it. Now, see, we've all had people who have come up to us and they've said, boy, Brother Donnie, you need to quit doing that. Now, unless I was led by the Spirit of the Lord to tell him that, I just put something on him that was of man and not of God. Because everybody has an opinion. But my opinion, if it doesn't line up with this word, it doesn't matter. And if my opinion does line up with this word, if the Spirit of God isn't ready to put it in somebody, it doesn't matter. Jesus speaks a word in due season. Jesus, as He talked to Peter, James, and John, He talked to them in a different way than He did the other nine disciples. And the reason why He did that was because He looks at the heart and He looks at where a person is, and He brings revelation, knowledge. He brings commands to that person to where they're at. So if you and I get in a place where we try to make everybody be just like we are, we're going to cause them to stumble. Paul, he said this. He said, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. But when he said that, he said it in the understanding that as they looked at Paul, they would see Jesus, but they would see Jesus in the way that they were ready to receive Him. Amen? Where if I start trying to tell somebody what they need to do and they don't need to do, and I don't have that unction, I don't have that leadership of the Lord, it puts them into bondage. It puts them into a place where they think they've got to strive. You and I tonight, the only thing that we fight is the good fight of faith. We're not striving because we're under the grace of God. And we've got to walk in that grace. The grace of God is what you were testifying about tonight. The grace of God filled your heart. The grace of God broke the yoke of bondage off your life. The grace of God is what makes us in a place of anticipation, of excitement, of doing something for the Lord. Amen? So here you are tonight. We've got to reprogram our mind, and we've got to see that Jesus always spoke the truth, and He always spoke a word that would cause His people to be forever changed. And so tonight, we need to come to the place where we recognize and realize, I am just like Jesus. Boy, it gets quiet. See, the devil doesn't want you and I. He wants, as soon as we make that statement or as soon as we hear that statement, he starts bringing over the buds of our mind all the things that seem to be wrong in our life or all the things that seemingly that we fell short in. God never looks at the area that we've stumbled. He looks at the area that we're willing to hold on to His hand. He told Peter, he said, you're going to go through some temptations and some trials and some struggles. He said, but when you have become converted, he said, this is the message I have for you. He didn't He knew what Peter was going to do. He knows that Greg's going to make a mistake. He still loves me, and he still has a plan for every day of my life. He has a plan for every day of your life. And so you've got to come back where you take the red letter of the Bible and you say, Jesus is talking to me. He's talking about me. And what he has said is true. Now, this is critical tonight for you to get this. Now, notice what he said once more time. We've got to get this in our heart. He said, the disciple is not above his master. Come on, there's a lot of people who think that they don't need Jesus. That's what he's talking about. They have a prideful attitude. You and I, we know where we're at. We know that we've got to have Jesus in every moment. If I didn't have him, I wouldn't have this breath right now. Amen? But at the same time, as I'm humble enough to see that side of it, I've got to be humble enough to see that Jesus said, if I would be his disciple and I would allow that word to change me moment by moment, that I'm perfect. See, if we don't receive this and we don't believe this, we won't do what he's calling us to do. There is an anointing that is being released from heaven. See, you're saved by grace, you walk by grace, you live by grace. All of these things is by grace, but there is an anointing that God wants to deposit on each one of you that will enable you to abide in this place. Grace causes you to abide in a place that nobody else can operate in. But you've got to see that that place is made perfect in you when you see yourself as God sees you. Amen? The devil, he shows us all the things that are wrong about our life. And he wants to browbeat us with that. He wants to keep us discouraged in that. And so the Bible says, as a man, a woman, as a boy, a girl thinks in their heart, Proverbs 23:7, so are they. If I don't get a picture of what Jesus is telling me about myself, I'll never become that. See, it took several years, as the Lord was calling me to teach, before I accepted that role and allowed that word to manifest. And then as I was faithful in that, then he took me to the next step and the next level. And it's the same way in every Christian's life. You've got to be faithful to where you're at. And you are. You're hungry for that. But God wants me to encourage you to see yourself mature in this moment of time. In other words, God is calling you to do some things. And you've got to see and know and understand that because you're disciplined in the Lord, that you're mature enough to do what he's asking you to do. Amen? He'll never ask you to do it without giving you the anointing. You've got the grace to do it. Now, stay with me. Now, let's jump up and read verse 39 so we can get the understanding of this. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them, and he said, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? See, the word of God is your vision. The word of God is what causes you and I to see tonight. If we will hear it. And that's what he's talking to hearers. He's talking to believers. He's talking to disciples. And so tonight, you and I, we recognize and realize that there's many things that the devil would want to trip us up on. But because we're a disciple of Jesus and we're mature to the word that we've heard, you and I are in a place and a position where we can see what the enemy has meant for harm. We can see where he wants to trip us up. How does he want to trip us up? Well, someday I'll be able to do that. See, everything about the devil is always future tense, and it never comes to pass. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to do what God called you and I to do. Today's the day to take him at his word and say, Lord, I will do it. I will yield to you. I will trust you. Today, I'll believe you for victory. I believe you for deliverance. I believe you for healing. I believe you that I am called into this area of ministry. You realize that Jesus himself said that by the Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul, he said, when you get born again and become a new creation, you become God's ambassador. You've got the authority of heaven in the name of Jesus that you speak. Come on, that requires maturity. That requires a completeness. In other words, you recognize and realize that God has entrusted you with the name of Jesus. responsibility. But with responsibility comes great possibility if we walk in that authority of that name. Amen? So here, we don't want to be blind. We don't want to dig a ditch. Now, what happens when we dig a ditch? Brother Ron, would you put Jeremiah chapter 2, I believe it's verse 13 or something? This is what God said about his people. He said, for my people have committed two evils. First of all, number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they have, number two, hewn out, they have dug them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, he said, can the blind lead the blind except they both fall into a ditch? And that word ditch is a man-made cistern. See, any time that we're not seeing things by the Word of God, in this case, Jesus is talking about his disciples. Anytime we're not seeing ourselves through the mirror of the Word of God, we're what? We're in a place where we're allowing other words to come into our life. We're digging our own way. We're making our own way. And God had the problem in the Old Testament with his children. And he said what? They would be in a place where they would hold no water. But tonight, you know what Jesus said about you. He said that when you get born again, when you drunk of the well of salvation, that there would be a well that would spring up out of you. Come on, that's in you. That's what Jesus told his brother Corey ministered to us in John chapter 4 about the little lady at the well. But that well turns into a river. When you, come on, come into the fullness of who you are, you recognize, okay, I've got a well that's salvation, but I've got rivers that is flowing out of my spirit. And so I've got to see that. I've got to see it. So I don't want to be blind. I don't want to dig my own cistern. In other words, what blinds you? What blinds me? Anything that's not of thus saith the Lord. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus? Saul? Before he became Paul, he's on the road to Damascus, and all he could see was Old Testament law. All he could see was he didn't understand the dispensation of grace. All he could see was that he wanted to stop what was happening, and he couldn't see the work and the will and the plan of God. And God had to what? The Holy Ghost come on him. Jesus was there, manifested his great light, knocked him off his donkey, and when he opened up his flesh eyes, he was blind. But all of a sudden, he could see with his spiritual eyes. He could see what he had never saw before, which was what? Jesus was there, and the first words out of his mouth is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Woo! All of a sudden, he got away from that empty cistern. He got away from the blind. See, the devil loves to play religion. You know who the most faithful person the church is other than Jesus? The devil. He never misses a church service. And a lot of times he tries to sit down right beside me to bother me. Come on, he tries to sit down right beside you to bother you and try to get us off focus. But tonight I want you to see that just as the Holy Ghost reveal Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit always lifts up. How do you know the Spirit of God is moving in a church service? Jesus is being exalted. If Jesus is not being exalted in what's being said and what's being taught, what's being done, then you and I step back. We recognize it for what it is, and it has no impact on our life because we don't accept something false, nothing counterfeit. Amen? But at the same time, when Jesus is being exalted, when he's being magnified, that's what happened to Saul. He become Paul. See, Saul, his name meant ask. But all of a sudden, when God, the Holy Ghost, come on him and changed his name to Paul, he become little. See, when we're little in our own eyes, when we're humble in ourselves, God exalts us in due season. Amen? And so he raised him up and he gave him a revelation. He gave him a message. And so tonight I want you to see that if Paul is, he at times he would talk about, he said, I'm not worthy of this calling. He said, I'm the least of the apostles because I persecuted the church. So even Paul had to come back and he had to depend upon the grace of God to allow him to be mature in what his role was. So it's not going to be any different with you and I tonight. The enemy's going to try to show you things to hinder you and to limit you. But you have got to say, I am what Jesus says I am. Amen? All right, now stay with me. Back to Luke chapter 6. And I want you to drop down with me to verse 45. Luke 6:45. Now, this Jesus is still in the same train of thought here. And he says, a good man, a good woman, a good boy, a good girl, out of the good treasure of his or her heart, bringeth forth that which is good. What did Jesus say? How did he say that people could tell what was in your heart? And the fruit is the fruit of your... So, we've got to know that when we get born again, our spirit's made brand new. It's of God. So, out of your mouth is the things of God. And when you speak those things, it directs your life. You start doing the things of God. Okay, now, Jesus said that the mature disciple, which you are, and your point of growth has nothing to do with nobody else to your left or your right, would be just like me. Not me, him. Okay? Out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, woman, boy, or girl, out of the evil treasure of their heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his or her mouth speaks. So your speech, my speech, reveals what we're being discipled in. Reveals what we truly believe. Tonight, you opened up your mouth and you told about what you believed God could do because you felt it, you saw it, you lived it. Amen? All right. So that's out of that testimony, and in the book of remembrance, God has written that down. And you got to see this. We say we don't understand the workings of heaven. You know, we don't. People think that the devil's in hell. He's not in hell. The devil roams the earth. The devil goes to the throne of God. Scripture tells us that. And sometimes God opens that book and he brags on you to the devil. Come on, he opened up the book and he talked to the devil about Job. He said, have you seen my boy, Job? He is an upright man. Come on, what was he doing? He was reading out of that book. But see, God likes to show the devil that his creation is just that. Come on, you are a creation. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creature. In Jesus, amen? You're a creation of God. And so when you believe that, when you understand that, then you'll start out of that good treasure that is in your heart. It won't be this empty ditch of blindness. It'll be speaking what God has to say about you. And when you say that, it starts creating the will and the plan of God. Now look what happens. He says, as you start doing that, let's drop down to verse 48. He said, there's a wise man and there's an unwise man, but an unwise person or a wise person. He says, he is like a man. This is the person that hears the sayings of the Lord. He or she is like a man or a woman which build a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Now see, your life, my life, is to be built on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that we build our house, the way that we build our life is out of our heart that has been made good, been born again, born from above, we fill it up with the Word of God. And when we fill it up with the Word of God, then we mature to where we're at and we start saying what God says about us. And as we say that, we build on that rock a place. What do you do in your house? In your house you rest. In your house you eat. In your house you relax and enjoy. It's built to your liking. Well, when you build a house on the rock of Jesus Christ, it's built to his liking and it's built to your liking. And it's just a place that you can function like never before. And in that place, you can just rest and lay back in the Lord, and all of a sudden you start getting into a place where you start believing, I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And I'm going to live that out day by day, moment by moment. And now it says, he is like a man which built a house and dig deep. You and I, we've got to get into the deeper things of God. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for baptism. All of those are important and critical. But we've got to move on from those things and get into the deep things of God, the meat of the Word, where we can grow up and what? Be a light to a dark world. Amen? Dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Now notice, he didn't say if a flood arose. He said when. Amen, Sister Michelle. He said, when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and it could not shake it. It could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. Now see, you and I have got to believe that when we see that we are the disciple of the Lord, and that we're matured to where we have grown, to the Word that we have been revealed, and to the Word that we've assimilated our lives to, that we're in that place, as Brother Corey said, I believe, quoting 1 Corinthians 10:13, God will not put more on us than we can bear, but He will what? He will make a way of escape. That way of escape is His Word. His Word. His Word is what gives you the victory. His Word is what brings you from the lie, the battle, the destructive attack of the enemy to the place of success. Amen? And so he said right here that when this happened, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now see, why I have to be mature to where Jesus is revealed to me, because in that I have a responsibility. I've built my life to this point, and yesterday God gave me grace to where I didn't have to walk it out by faith, but now I am in a new place, and I can't survive on yesterday's grace. I can't survive on yesterday's manna. I've got to survive on what God wants me to have, to hear, to do today, right now. Amen? And if I will do that, it doesn't matter what storm comes, it says out of the mouth of Jesus, could not shake it. Could not. So, why have I been shook in so many areas of my life? Is because I didn't do what Jesus said to do. I wanted to stay right here, and I didn't want to grow up in that. And I said, well, the Lord took care of me in this situation last time. I'm just going to stay right here, and I'm going to let Him do it the same way again. That gets the devil excited. Because he knows he's got us in a place where he can what? Just like he did Peter. Come on, Jesus come to Peter and he said, listen, you need to watch and you need to pray. You need to do something different than you did yesterday. I gave you grace for yesterday and you made it through it. But if you don't do what I'm telling you to do today, you're not going to make it. What happened? Peter did not make it through that situation unscathed. He failed because he didn't stay. He didn't abide in the fresh rhema word, the fresh manna word. We've got to hear and we've got to recognize and we've got to react to what God says and not rely on past experiences. Verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, I hauled some gravel for a guy one time. He was getting ready to build a house. He had moved in here from California. Strangest thing I ever seen in my life. Y'all may have seen it. I never saw it before, never saw it since. He's building this house, and he's building it without a foundation. Without a foundation. Because that's what they did where he lived in California, where the earthquakes were. They had a concrete floor, and they had it reinforced in a way where that sometimes that the whole house would just shift instead of breaking apart without the foundation. And so he thought that's what he wanted to do here. And he asked me what I thought about it. And I said, you don't want to know what I think about it because I'm not qualified to say. But, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen. You know, I don't know how it ever turned out. I hauled gravel there a few times and never went back. So I don't know. But you and I, we've got to see that everything that we build, the foundation is Jesus. And if you and I build everything on Jesus, even though nobody else understands. See, some people couldn't understand your testimony because they haven't been through it. But your testimony is real and powerful to you and to the Lord. And it's written down in that book. And it's going to be the building process that will empower you to always be in the place of maturing and changing, like Jesus said. So let's look at something just for a second. Now, we've got to stay in context of what Jesus is teaching. So drop back up to verse 46. See, because if you and I don't do what we read there in verse number 40, then we're doing verse 46. And that's a scary thing. Out of the mouth of Jesus, Jesus said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" See, you know the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." No doubt about it. When you name Jesus Lord, you're saying in the Greek tongue, you're saying, "Jesus, you are Kyrios. You are Lord," meaning you are supreme in authority. You have the first say. You have the final say. And so here Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord if you're not going to do what I say?" Now, what did Jesus say to do? He said, for you to see yourself as his disciple, see yourself as mature to where you're at, and be like the master. The devil doesn't want you to know that you can be like Jesus. Now, I can't do what Paul did. I'm not called to do what Paul did. You can't do what whoever did, but you can do what God called you to do. Amen. And you've got to believe that. You've got to see that. And you've got to build your life on it. In other words, you build your life by saying, whatever God reveals to you. The Lord is revealing some things to me that I wouldn't dare tell you. Because you'd say, I know you. But you know me after the flesh. God's looking at us and knowing us after the Spirit. And what the flesh can't do, because it's weak, the Spirit's willing, and it's all capable. Amen? So tonight, I want you to see yourself, and I want you to, now don't get mad at me, I want you to repent. I want you to repent as the Spirit leads you and shows you some things that He's calling you into, because Jesus said, if I'm your Lord, then you can do what I say. What did Jesus say? He said, you shall be like me. That means that you are an overcomer, because the Bible over and over and over says that you have the victory. That you, Jesus said in John 14:12, put it up there, Brother Ryan, John 14:12. Let's read it together. You can paraphrase it, but let's read it together. John 14:12. Jesus wants you to know. He said, verily, verily, this is a judicial term. It is a fact. It is a law-giving term. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he or she that believeth in or believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he or she do also. Now, I can't do, see, what the devil wants to show me, saying, boy, you ain't ever raised anybody from the dead. God ain't asked me to. God asked me to lay hands on the sick. I've got to be complete to where I'm at. He hasn't asked me to do that. He hasn't shown me that. But He has shown me to do some things that are a stretch. But when every time I stretch, I get stronger. Every time you stretch, you grow. Amen? He said, the works that I do shall he or she do also. Notice this. And greater works than these shall he or she do, because I go unto my Father. What does it mean? Because when he went unto the Father, he said, when I go away, I shall send another comforter. That means someone just like me. And he is going to what? He's going to inhabit you. And he always leads you and guides you in all truth. The Bible says where he guides you in the Gospel of John, the word from the Greek is, he rehearses before your eyes. Just like an orchestra leader. I don't, Corey could help you with that. I don't know anything about it. But just like in choir, as they followed, I can watch them do that. It means absolutely nothing to me. I think you got a fly in your face or what? You know, it doesn't mean. But the Spirit of God, he orchestrates. When we take time to close the flesh eyes and to look by the Spirit, all of a sudden, you get a glimpse. If we're not careful, we'll become blind and we'll empty that out and get in our own ditch instead of doing what we see. But if we'll just do what he shows us, it'll always work. Would y'all look up at me? Come on now. I want you to be excited tonight. The Spirit of God is telling you that what the Word says. He's telling you that Jesus, out of his own mouth, he said that when you are my disciple, you've got to embrace that. That you are complete. You are mature into your level. But if you don't accept that and don't walk in that, you'll never go to the next step. God is a God of ascension. He's a God of progression. He's a God of increase. And you and I, we can't stay in this same place and expect to please him. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for what you have done tonight. I thank you that you've empowered and enabled and showed each one of us that we are writing a book. A book for your remembrance, but a book for our remembrance. A book for your glory. And I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you just stir each person that is here and give us an urgency to see that we, because we have called on your name, that we are your disciple. And if you say that we are as you are at this moment of growth, and that we can do what you have called us to do and asked us to do, then, Lord, we're going to say yes to you. So I ask you right now that every lie, every limitation be revealed in our life. And I ask that you touch and draw us to a place that we step forward in you. Let it be, Father. Let it be. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar and say, oh, I've heard this word tonight and I'm excited. I want to see what God is saying about me right now. I want to see, because the disciple is the pupil, is the hearer. I want to hear what the Spirit of God is calling me to do, because I am mature at this part. And I want to step into something new. I want to step into something greater. I want to please the one who has enabled and empowered me to be called a child of the Most High God. Would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come and just spend some time with the Lord? Let him build you up. Let him encourage you. There's people out there that are hurting, lost, and undone. They need to have what you've got in your life. And they need to allow you to touch them in the name of Jesus. Amen? Would you come?